for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 50 years of playing PlayStation, like 10 plus years in that games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. And Dame Duty Dench in the chat. This is it's the only PlayStation opinions that I care about. If we had like posters or DVDs or covers we could put that behind, I absolutely would. But did you see that this week, Max? On our yes. Twitters.
I'm like, hang on, where is he going with this? I saw a lot of things this week.
Yeah, I've seen lots of things this week. So over the weekend, we were very kindly tagged. There's a Twitter handle, then they're called Millions Podcast. What they do is they essentially collate lists of podcasts and distribute them out through their social media. It's like, hey, here are, you know, some of the best tech pods and this, that, the other, right? So they did a list of the top 80 PlayStation podcasts, which, spoilers, about 60 of them, 70 of them not actually PlayStation podcasts. Many of them were just general video game shows. But we were part of that list, which makes sense, right? Because it's what we do. But like, I'm aware of other shows that didn't make the list, but we did. So it is very nice to be considered in that list alongside the likes of Colin Moriarty, Dustin Furman, Chris Reagan, Greg Miller, of course, the team over at Podcast Beyond, and, you know, lovely friends of the shows like the PS This Is Awesome, as well as Platinum Explosion, and a show that I have listened to in the past and I do quite enjoy, which is In PS We Trust, which comes out of the UK, as well as the Trophy Room out of America. So an incredible list of shows on there if you're a PlayStation, but of course, you're here for us. The only PlayStation podcast made in this country, and we can say that now after consultation with our friends over at Platinum Explosion. It was pretty much when we caught up in Brisbane, I was like, yo, are you guys doing the show anymore or what? They went, yeah, nah. So like, you know, who were the other shows? There's us, there was Platinum are done. There was PS5 Central, which was the PlayStation pod ran by Dan Allen Gaming, you know, who kept going after he got absolutely obliterated for leaking a bunch of Ubisoft information that one time. Then there was Operation PlayStation, you know, from ex-games media individual, Dash and his crew, which was, I think, Padge, and I think I guessed on it a bunch. But they're all gone. It's just us. There, as far as I'm aware, there are no other PlayStation-centric shows made in this country. Max, how do you feel about having that information given to you?
It's one of those things of like, it's exciting, but at the same time, it's like I'm running a race against myself. I'm like, woo, champion.
Like, it was fun when there was three of us and I couldn't actively predict was like, you know, which is the top one, blah, blah, blah. But it's just us now. Like, it either means we're really good, really consistent, or we just don't give up for whatever fucking reason. Like, everyone else saw the writing on the wall. They went, get the fuck out. We didn't.
Oh, yeah.
If anything, we doubled down. It's the only shit that we make now.
Yeah.
Back in the day, we had a stack of different shows, a bunch of different things. Speaking of that, though, Max, last night. So I was, it was Sunday night when we normally record. I was chilling out. I was playing some games, which we'll talk about shortly. And I was just listening to a show. Now, I'm going to name the dude because I think it was ballsy as all fuck, right? And I this is an absolute compliment to the dude. So there was a gentleman by the name of Joshua LaRossa. He sent me a DM on Twitter. And I've never met the dude before, but it fell in because we had no follow each other, whichever. It went straight into my request. So I didn't see it. I opened up and went, oh, cool. To the dude's credit, he essentially went, hey, man, I watch your show. I love it. I used to do a gaming podcast. PlayStation's my specialty. You guys like looking for hosts or anything? And I'm like, fuck it. Like, I have no plans on changing the show. You know, you and I, good dynamic. It works. But absolute credit to the dude, right? And I'd be super keen to have him on for like a More the Players, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, shit, all right, let's go. Like, so I'll have a chat with him and we'll find a topic or a game that connects and we'll do something. So I asked him, I was like, dude, can you send me a link of what you've done? So he sent me a link to his pod, and he was only like 20 or 30 episodes deep before it kind of disbanded. I think it was him due to like his own personal commitments and his co-host commitments, in the same way that, you know, we lost our original Josh X amount of years ago due to family commitments. Listening to it, I'm like, and Josh, if you are listening, this is absolutely not like shitting on you. This is genuinely a compliment. So I was listening to it and it was fun because it sounded like how we used to sound. And I mean that like there's a little bit of, you know, just stepping into the space, you're kind of building your knowledge and your experience within the games industry. but like, unlike us,
you're still excited by new things, everything's absolutely shiny and pretty and fun. And then now we're like, what? I'm like 6 years deep now, and like, everything sucks.
I'm doing this for 10 years, man. Like,
a little terrible.
Exactly. And listening to him, and like, granted, they were talking about the PlayStation game, you know, games as a service, which was, you know, he spoke very like openly and honestly about it. And I agree with a lot of what he said, but it was just interesting to sort of hear like how it's presented for people that have been doing it for a short, you know, a smaller window of time. You know, this show's like 380 episodes deep at this point. So it's kind of insane. And then of course I've been podcasting for years and years and years before that. And I thought to myself, like, you know what I haven't done? I haven't gone back to any of like the OG shows. So I went back to like episode 4 of For the Players. And mind you, I was way fucking fatter, which was crazy. But it was similar energy. Very young and exuberant, and you know, the world hasn't clearly shat on them in every direction. They haven't experienced this was post-pandemic. Like, yeah, so for us, like, it was, you know, pre-pandemic, all of that, none of it. You know, we hadn't seen what the world could really do to us. Like, I was a new dad at that point. I was excited. And I was like, woo, you know, it was good times. And then I cut ahead, because that was with myself and Josh. And then I jumped ahead randomly to, like, a one that you and I did. And that energy was still there too. I'm like, man, what the fuck happened to us? And then I was like, oh, hang on. I remember what happened at a particular time in my life, which was when my family broke down, like my marriage ended. I was like, I want to pull that episode up. And that was extreme. Cause I could look at myself and all I could see was just someone fucking dying. Like internally with, you know, here I am trying to make jokes and, you know, they're like, how was your week? I'm like, well, my week was pretty fucked. Turns out having panic attacks for, you know, an entire week is not a good idea, which is absolutely like what happened. But it was really bizarre to see me try to like mask up to cover that. But I think that's in general, because like, obviously with me being diagnosed with my ASD in, you know, early 22, you know, that's where we started going online almost exclusively because it was post COVID and we realized that we could do it. You know, and like, and then thinking back to last week, now granted last week, like I slept like fucking 4 hours. So I was rooted and I was like completely flat and lack of energy.
And you had also just woken up from a massive nap as well.
Yeah. From one of those naps where you like, you go into a small coma. And I was thinking to myself, man, like we were so fucking energetic and exuberant. What happened, Max? What happened to us?
We went online and got lazy. Yeah, I had an extra child and got really tired. Yeah. My night shift's extended. Like, you know, where do you want to go?
Yeah, have you, like, my kid getting older, you know, circumstances of life kicked us. But, like, you know, even you were joking about this, right? Like, before we started recording, you know, like, yeah, I got my ADHD diagnosis. You still haven't yet. But, like, you know, I said, like, you know, what was the difference? You're like, yeah, we were in person. I wasn't being distracted by shit at my desk. I'm like, man, you do get distracted at your desk a lot.
I should really just turn off all my other screens and just focus on the one that's
pretty
in
much
front of
me. Like, I don't fucking touch shit outside of, like, the news doc, even my phone. I kind of, like, you know, I have it there just in case shit goes down, but it's back because I'm giving you my full attention, Max. You deserve
it. I generally have it open just in case Ali messages me.
Well, yeah, you've got little ones, right? And, you know, super important.
And, like, I've got a baby monitor on one side of me, and I've got.
And that's the other thing as well. Like, you know, we had a lot of energy, a lot of, like, body movement. Because granted, we were filming in a different space. It was like a studio setup. So it was like a camera at the front, you and I sitting next to each other at this desk. You know, it was very, very different. But on top of that, like, you're filming in, like, an open nook in your house where there's kids' bedrooms next to you. So you don't have the ability to, like, go as huge as you did. And of course, we're all just fucking beat to shit, like, emotionally and all that sort of stuff. So, speaking of, how's the week trodden on you this? How's the week killed you, Max?
It hasn't actually been too bad. Ali had Friday off for a recharge day. Her work's like, hey, fucking take a day.
Oh, is that you've when she had too much leave and they're like, can you fucking take leave? So when you,
I think it was more of the, they're like, hey, you've been what they refer to as floor support for fucking so long. Don't you just take a day?
So you have been what we refer to as fucked. So we're going to, like, let you do anything else for a day.
Take a recharge day. So I got to sleep in Friday, which was fucking rad.
Wait, it's her recharge day and you slept in? You fuck.
I ended up getting up early. She's like, I need help with the kids. I can't get everyone ready for school on time. I need help. Like, I gotcha. And then last night,
Reverend Puck in the chat. Damn, you're smooth. I'll help you out, man. I'll let me sleep in.
Well, she didn't go to work today either because she was really crook last night.
Yeah, because she didn't sleep in on Friday.
She really crook last night. She threw up everywhere. Oh. And I'm like, I'll hang out. I'll go to work late. It's fine. I'll make sure you're okay before I leave. So I went to work about an hour late. She's like, hey, I don't think I'm going to go to work tomorrow. I still feel a bit rough. I'm like, cool, no worries. So I slept in this morning as well.
Now, granted, you work overnights. If anyone that's new to the show, like, may not realize, yeah, Max works overnights. It sucks. It fucking kills you. Like, it takes so much out of you.
Ali woke me up. She's like, hey, can you take Hadley to school? I've done everything. I'm like, yep, cool. I got up.
Fucking crashed the car.
Got home. Got laid down on the couch. Ali was at one end of the couch. I was at the other end. We were sharing a blanket. Ollie was just fucking doing his thing, and I fell asleep on the couch. Next thing I know, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. My neck's fucking jacked from sleeping on the couch awkwardly, sitting on a pillow. I wake up. Ali's asleep in front of me. I assume that Ollie's in his bed because he's nowhere to be found.
Was he in his bed?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, thank fuck. So you're awake. Ali isn't, and you have to find the baby before, like, she wakes up.
So I went and got him up because he'd woken up. And then I'm like, oh, we got, like, half an hour.
MGB in the chat calls it a W because, yeah, the child was not lost, which is very true.
Then we're like, oh, we're going to go get Hadley from school now. So I've had a pretty chill day the last couple of days. But, yeah, the week's been fine. Nothing really crazy new to report.
Yeah, no, like, I'm about the same, really. Like, not much went down this week. I'm in the new job still. And, you know, a lot of them ask, like, hey, what's this thing you do? I'm like, oh, here you go. So I've sent them the link. So, hi, people at work that are maybe watching this. Sorry, I guess, because I'm about to probably swear a lot and say dumb things. So, yeah, I'm really adjusting to that new job, like, going back out and about, and weirdly, like, granted, knowing that I'm pardon me, the giant introvert that I am, I expected that, like, when I was to engage in the community again, it wouldn't kick the shit out of me. I'd be okay. I mean, it's absolutely true. Like, I thought there'd be some, like, you know, mental exhaustion from, you know, entering the outside world again. And there is, but that's just because I'm doing shit. Like, and I'm getting up and I'm walking around. The only downside, though, Max, is, you know, working from home, I'd finish up and I'd go downstairs to the gym and I would, like, work off whatever energy I had left. Now I'm just fucking physically zonked by the time I get home. Like, so, like, all the time and effort we spent building that gym downstairs since starting the new job, then touched it, which is real bad. Probably should fix that. But I don't know whether you'll be proud of me, Max, but I'm proud of me. This weekend, I actively turned down some wrestling shows. Oh. Thank you. The sound gates kicked in, but you know, those playing at home, Max gave me
an... I don't want to blow people's ears out.
Yeah, because, like, I work with, you know, thousands of different companies, and it was one of those things where after, like, 2 weeks, you know, sorry, about 2 months or whatever, of just pretty much consistent shows almost every weekend, I was like, you know, like, there's been a couple times where it's been my weekend with my son, and I've had to then go work one of the nights. And I could see it was starting to impact him. I'm like, nah, fuck it. So I spoke to them and I was like, nah, can't do it. Because, like, I need to see my son. Simple as that. And they went, yeah, man, no worries. Which is where, as our good friend Craig, the Mullet Show on the chat, says, yep, thanks for that. I enjoyed the payday. Craig stepped in for me, did the commentary job for me, and he's having a payday, which is his first ever paid commentary gig. He's a legit professional now. Big moment. So, yeah, so, like, I was able to spend a proper weekend with my son, which was really nice. And, like, I probably should do it more often. I absolutely will be doing it more often. But... yeah, it was really nice to sort of just be home, and we kind of just hung out, and we went and saw the Mufasa movie. It's aggressively fine. All the music sucks. Like, what's the dude that made Hamilton?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, he needs to stop making things, because, like, everything sounds the fucking same, and that movie is genuinely worse because of his creation in it.
Well, I watched Moana 2 this weekend, and I'm like, this movie blows compared to the first one.
Is it because he's in it? Did he make all the music?
No, I'm like, you fuckers shoehorned this so hard, and there's clearly a third movie coming with the way it ended. Yeah. Like, you bastards.
But yeah, it was fun for James, because he's really in a Lion King kick at the moment. So, like, we're like, yeah, we'll go see it. And, like, I expect it to be kind of poo. And, like, they did improve from the first one, in the first, you know, full action remake, whatever the fuck. Like, they made them a bit more anthropomorphized, so that, like, they actually can show emotion, which is interesting, because the first one, they're like, they're liars, they don't have emotion. But, like, that's the whole fucking point. We need them to be able to portray things. So they did that, and that's an improvement. As I said, song's blue. Some of the things were interesting. It was fine. But what that did allow me to do... It was allowed me to sort of sit down and, you know, just play some games with my son. So let's get to the section we call What We Played This Week. You know, in all the 380 episodes, Max, we've never correctly named the section.
Well, the only one that makes sense would be the playlist, but that's like the name of... That's, no, we can't use it. It's the name of, like, the segment of, like, so many other podcasts.
Shit.
That's what it is. It's like, it's our playlist.
It is, yeah.
It's what it is, but a lot of other people use it. It'd be for shame.
We'll have to think of a new name for that session. You know, only near 400 episodes later, like, we should probably name the section. But yeah, let's get in the section where we talk about the games that we've been playing. So I'm just going to jump into the game that we did play together, my son and I. And I know you've been playing it this weekend as well.
Literally just turned it off before we started recording.
Even better. And that is Split Fiction. So we touched upon it last week, but big thank you to the team over at EA Australia for providing us our review code for Split Fiction, which allowed Max to play it with his wife. I was originally playing it with my partner, Phoebe. However, she was getting, quite holy frustrated.
She was just so shit at the game, and you're like, fucking tag out.
excuse me, I don't believe that to be the case. She does. She's like, I can't keep up. You can play it with James. And I was like, all right, sure, whatever. And I told James, he's like, yeah, why not? So he and I, we played for like a good hunk on Saturday night and then pretty much all of Sunday. So I think we've probably put like 8 hours in it. Easy. And I believe the game's been about 12 hours long. So we're pretty close. A lot of the things that I mentioned last week, I have a lot of amendments to. You know, who would have thought you played a game more and you'd get more information to allow you think about the game differently? The comments I made last week were predominantly around how the characters were presented. I found both Mio and Zoe very fucking boring. And I believe, you know, now that I know more, like, and I start to sort of understand the game at large, it's clearly on purpose. The idea is let's have them be diametrically opposed from one another to an nth degree, which is cool from a storytelling idea, but like in execution, it just feels like these two people are being combative for no reason, and then no one's willing to make a middle ground. And I like sci-fi, and fantasy's poo. You know, like that's kind of where they were going. And as the game progresses, they do chip away at that a little bit, and we do sort of see the beginnings of either a working relationship between. I don't believe they'll be friends by the end, but you know. Fuck, at the end of Speed, if Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock can like eat face after all that trauma, I'm sure these two could, you know, maybe eat face. I don't know. Who knows what they're gonna do? But it's possible they'll come together in the end. So, from where I'm at with that, really, like I am enjoying the characters a lot more. James picked Zoe in our playthrough, so I ended up playing Mio again, which is fine. You know, I don't mind the character. Her cynicism to life really, you know, sort of connected with me on a deep level, because that's me. where Zoe's kind of optimism is most certainly not that for me. but having experienced more of it now, there is a beauty in this game that is only deliverable in this idea. Not about the co-op, because I think the co-op is just going to happen because it's Hazelight. But the idea of having, funny enough, a premise where ideas are being stolen from individuals allows them to create these little slices of like levels, of themes, of concepts. Mm-hmm. So, because within the game, you know, we mentioned it last week, part of the gimmick is that, you know, there is this big, scary organization, looks a whole lot like the fucking, the evil company out of Spider-Man Miles Morales. Similar energy. Even my son goes, this is like Miles Morales. I'm like, yes, you little dude. Yeah, you get it. You know, you can see the derivative. That's cool. But by doing that, like, so this machine absorbs the ideas from these individuals. It's essentially a commentary on AI, which we'll talk about more later. But what it does, it allows these little side stories or side quests within the game where clearly at Hazelight they went, what is a silly idea you've had for a level that you've never been able to make? Because we can do that now. Because there doesn't need to be a cohesive through point. It can be completely incoherent because it's an idea. It's a side story. And that's where you get the things from the trailers, like the level where you play as pigs with superpowers. Like I played the pig that can fart and fart rainbows and get airborne. My son played the pig that can be all springy. That's the double jump. That level is utterly stupid. And it wouldn't fit in any other narrative if it wasn't for the ability to have these side stories.
I broke that level so hard.
How?
So the idea behind that level is you have to work together with your partner to collect the apples to open up the doors. You have to feed the pig doors to get through the doors. So I was playing it with Hadley at the time. Ali was sitting beside us. Me and Hadley were playing. Hadley was the fighting pig. She thought that was fucking hilarious. I was the spring pig. So on the second set of apples, you're clearly, as the spring pig, supposed to sit in like this section, and the other pig will fly across to a location, bring down a basket, you jump in the basket, you go get the apple.
Yeah.
Turns out you just don't need to do that if you are a parkour master, and you can just jump up the side of that scaffolding and jump across and grab the apple yourself.
Sick.
You just don't need anyone.
Did like, you work that out, or did like Hadley go fuck you and did it herself?
And then Ellie's like, are you supposed to be like, is Hadley supposed to use the like the shovel to spring you up there? I'm like, probably. They say this is a cooperative game, but I can do it solo.
Yeah, I'm just belligerent, you know. Like,
but like, you know, a little spoilers for this side quest portion. That level gets real grim real quick.
Look, it's in the trailer. People can see it. It was highlighted in a couple of things. You play as these magical pigs, and as you progress through the level, you're collecting these apples, as you mentioned, and at the end, you become
hot dogs. There's a super happy fun slide. There's a super happy fun slide that leads to a meat grinder, and then there's blood everywhere. And Hadley's like fucking stunned.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I was like, "Woo!" And then, I'm like, oh, no.
And then you have to cook yourself.
Yeah, and so you got to go then cook yourself on a grill, put, you know, mustard and ketchup, put yourself on a bun, and then you get munched. And apparently this is a story from Zoe when she was younger to learn, like, how sausages are made. Which is, like, a really cool principle as, like, a one-off episode, which is a stack of fun.
Mm.
But yeah, so like having that, a kind of, that's where you get a lot of those additional story beats. And it's where you get to know these characters more, because in these side stories for both Mio and Zoe, like you are seeing their life, where they grew up and the thoughts they had and the experiences that they had. Because although Mio was a character, like spent a lot of time arguing that I don't put myself in my stories, I just write stories, you know, which is completely untrue. If anyone that creates anything, you funnel so much of yourself into your creations. Mm. That yeah, that's where you get to see that, and you sort of develop and learn more about them. And you know, as you go throughout the main levels, and you find these glitches, and then you collect the glitch, and then it blows this giant vagina shaped hole in the side of the bubble that you're hanging out in. Look, the game is really, really good. Now, I'm at no point, like, I know we haven't finished it yet, and I assume this is the way I'm seeing the game at this point now. Once again, I'm not at the end. You know, we spend a big hunk of time in Mio's sort of, you know, sci-fi, cyberpunky world. We spend a whole lot of time in Zoe's fantasy world, and we're continuously breaking this machine. I have a feeling, come the end, that's where we're just going to get the full merge. Because right now, things are sort of happening in separate. I imagine there'll be a big collision at the end where we get kind of, you know, robot dragons or something. Or, you know, some sort of fantasy sci-fi mix. But I'm curious when that happens. But, you know, the scores I'm seeing are like 8s, 9s, 10s. I don't think it's a 10 yet. It's certainly very good. I'd put it in that probably like 8 space, like maybe a 9. Now, because that's another thing we'll think about, Max. Like, we don't do game scores, and we haven't done them forever. We kind of did when we started, but we very quickly stepped away from them. And that's another thing I was thinking about this week, Max. Like, should we bring them back?
What, like, numbers?
Yeah.
How contentious.
I know, right? Like, because, like, for me, it was all about the conversation. I think the conversation is so much better than a score. And we still do that. But, you know, scores are fun.
Scores are fun.
Yeah. How about you? Like, you know, not about... We'll discuss the grander idea of game scores later. But how are you feeling about your experience with Split Fiction?
I'm enjoying it. I'm finding it... I think I mentioned this last week. I'm finding it a lot more fast-paced than what It Takes Two was.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of plays to my strengths and my wheelhouse of how I like to play my games. Ali has found it a little bit more frustrating, a little bit more difficult. Some of the things, she'll try and play at my pace and get herself caught up a little bit. So one of the sections that we just finished it just before we started recording, another one of the side quest levels is essentially you play Hot Potato.
Oh, yes. It's like a...
And you just, yeah, it's like,
I won't go
like
spoilers, but yeah, like you're essentially throwing a bomb to one another.
Yeah, essentially, you're doing puzzle levels, and you just got a hot potato this bomb back and forth as you finish the thing. And so the bomb has a timer, so you know when it's about to blow up, and you essentially just throw it to your partner, they'll catch it. well, they have to hit a button to catch it. Mm-hmm. So I would be like, hey, I'm going to throw it. So Ali will instantly hit catch because I've said I've thrown it. I'm like, well, you've got to wait a little bit because there's some travel time.
Yeah.
So that took a little bit. And then there was the platforming is very fast paced. There's dangers, there's traps to avoid. So we ended up we're playing it Saturday night. We ended up stopping and putting it away and picking it up again today. Mm-hmm. And we finished it pretty much first go. Like, it was just some fresh eyes. But the other thing that I'm getting from it is my parents are playing it at the moment as well.
Yeah, you sent me this very interesting message from your parents. Yeah, they
Mum broke her DualSense controller that she fucking snapped off the toggle from the L3.
How do you just break the whole left analog stick?
Apparently they just clip in. Apparently they just like clip in things.
Oh, they just clip on top, yeah.
Yeah, the nubs just click on. So but they were in the they're only just behind where Ali and I are up to, so it's been fun. They do the same thing. They're like, if we get stuck, we'll try it a couple of times and then we'll just turn it off if we don't get it. And then we'll come back with fresh eyes, and 9 out of 10 times we'll do it first go.
Mm.
She's been good. But she rang me the other day. She's like, I think I broke it, and she was stuck and she couldn't respawn.
Okay.
So it was in the motorbike section.
Oh yeah, you've got to hit the next trigger point in order to spawn. Wait, no. I had the same thing. I had to reset a checkpoint once.
Yeah, she got stuck between a wall and a staircase, but it didn't blow up the motorbike. So she was just stuck. I'm like, you're going to have to restart the checkpoint. That's the only thing you can do.
Yeah, we had something similar. Like, we got, like, James and I were playing, and I died, and then the little symbol came up, the little, like, you know, animacy looking shit.
Yeah, but it won't respawn you. It won't respawn you in a danger zone. But yeah, she couldn't die to respawn. She was just stuck in between a wall and a staircase. I don't know how she did it without dying. That was like impressive. But
look, maybe that's the other thing, right? Like, we've talked in the past about our QA teams really should just hire like young kids and old people, apparently, because they'll just break a game in ways that you couldn't comprehend.
Yeah.
But overall, I'm
finding the story is less compelling than what It Takes Two is, but the gameplay is more compelling than what It Takes Two was.
So in the chat, MGB jumps in, a wall and a staircase, definitely better than a rock and a hard place. That is true. But I would agree with you. Like, I think, but once again, this is to sort of coincide with the thoughts I shared earlier about the beauty of this game is that, you know, it is a bunch of ideas kind of put into one package, which is great. But the downside of that is that you get a less coherent overall story. Because with It Takes Two, it's themed. Like, yes, each level you kind of have little, you know, changes in the gameplay. However, with it being a big story about, like, you know, a child processing their parents' separation and stuff like that, like, there's a bit more to it. And it's a through story. And at the moment, the through story is big corporation wants to harvest your ideas. And that's it. And like, the big bad is kind of generic fucking dude in a suit who has many money. And like, big Lex Luthor energy is kind of what the generic dude out of Miles Morales.
Mm.
Like, that's interesting because we were sitting at the table when we had lunch yesterday, while we had a break from playing Split Fiction. So I sat with my son, and one thing I do with my son, because he's 8, and we play games a lot, and he knows that, like, I do this in terms of reviewing and etc. So I do a lot to try to help him, you know, think more critically about games, to sort of try, you know, get his brain primed to think, you know, add that larger media literacy, right?
Mm.
So we were discussing, like, you know, how do you think the story's going? This, that, the other. And we're sort of discussing that and, you know, explain, you know, going into the intricacies of each of the characters and sort of getting him to think of it differently. But in turn, it also made me think it differently. And it makes sense with It Takes Two, the game, like, these titles, Hazelight make gameplay driven experiences. Yes, there's a story in there, but it's the gameplay that is the major focal point. And we see that a lot here with Split Fiction, in how you experience a lot of levels that are very similar to Tribreaker, right? I played them both at the same time. With Tribreaker, which was the game from Colin Moriarty and Lilimo Studios, where there is such a strong, you know, you can see the inspirations for that game across all their different levels. And we're seeing that here in Split Fiction. Sorry, excuse me. Like, we're experiencing worlds that feel like Harry Potter. There are moments where, you know, you're in the sci-fi and suddenly you're doing like a Rezogun style, you know, side-scrolling shooter. You know, like that. So there's little clear sprinkles and inspirations in each of these levels from other games, which I don't believe is a bad thing. I think, you know, our inspiration are what build us and shape us and define us in a lot of ways. Sorry, in the chat, good friend Craig jumps in and goes, the name's Dude, generic dude, lights generic brand cigarette. And then Max in the chat goes, please, generic guy vapes. Absolutely, generic dude would vape. And he would do those big obnoxious, like, big plumes. And it probably, you know, he's a real wank about it.
And I bet you it's like fucking strawberry shortcake or some shit.
Oh, man. Good friend of the show, Jem, one of my dear friends. So she's a vapor. And she's got strawberry chubba chub. It smells awesome and it tastes awesome. Like, I'm so glad that I at least have the self-control to never actually buy vapes, because I know I would jump into that shit immediately. If they're like, this one tastes like sticky date pudding, you're like, I'm going to be the most nicotine addicted fuck you've ever seen in your life. Guaranteed. But yeah, look, with Split Fiction, like, that's sort of the energy I'm feeling. Like, there's a lot of inspiration, but the gameplay is sort of the key thing that pulls you forward compared to, say, a narrative experience. Would you align with that?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's about all the thoughts I have on Split Fiction. I've been speaking a whole lot. Do you have anything else to add, Max?
No, I think you covered it really well, actually.
Sweet.
I'm obviously not as far as you, so I don't have too much extra to add to it.
Hmm. Well, the only thing I'll add is, because, look, I was playing it with my 8-year-old. He's very lucky in that he's been playing and been exposed to games since he was, like, I don't know, 2. Like, even when he was born, I was playing, like, Battlefield 1, and he was in his bassinet in the lounge. So he's sleeping with the sounds of actual warfare, like, just consumed his poor little, like, 2-week-old head. At the time, it meant he slept very, very well. He could sleep through almost anything, but then he doesn't anymore. So for that reason alone, it was a really cool sort of bonding experience for us. So we play games together a lot of the time. But to play something brand new together for the first time, and we have to play together, made it really fun. So, you know, prior to the job I have now and the job I had before, like, everyone knows that there was a window of time where I worked in, you know, youth support services using games as therapy, right? It was all about teaching skills and, like, capacity building. Being able to do that with my son here in my house was really fun. So we focus a lot on, like, communication and teamwork and resilience, because there were some times where some of the levels really kind of pushed James's nerves. You know, like, they just couldn't handle the failure. You know, with him being a little ADHD kid as well, his rejection sensitivity is through the roof. So it's a lot of me reaffirming that, like, hey, bud, there's no counter on the screen that says how many points you got. There's nothing saying that you only have X amount of lives. We just get to play together. So don't worry about it. If it takes you 17 times to jump that gap, it'll take you 17 times. I will wait for you and we'll talk it out and I'll help you out as you need. And that was really fun. And there were even times where I would sort of set him up to be able to be the lead communicator with me. Because there are levels where, you know, Zoe may be the more prominent individual in that puzzle, and, or, you know, Mio may be the other way. Like, there are a bunch of games that we, like, Overcooked is really, really good at that. If you're playing with a team, like, there are times where it really benefits for you to be the dominant individual depending on where you're spaced in the map. So like that really empowered him to sort of step up and be like, well, daddy, what if we do this, this, and this? I'm like, let's try it and let's see what happens. And like there were times where like there were a couple of puzzles that like genuinely stumped me. And then he goes, what about this? And it worked. So like to his credit, like, you know, he's a little switched on. He's got them good gamer brain. So, you know, just even personally, it's been really fun experiencing that with him. And it does mean I have to wait for, you know, there won't be any more discussions around Split Fiction until 2 more weeks until my son comes back from his mum's. But then we'll probably have it done on that weekend and we'll have it finished. MGB in the chat jumps in and goes, it's great to be able to give that level of support. As an autistic person myself, being able to have that support is awesome. Absolutely, right? You know, as I highlighted before, like I'm on the spectrum also, right? Like it's, you know, and so is my son. And we see the world a little differently and we have different challenges in different ways. So be able to create a space where he and I can comfortably, like, you know, push against our that part of our brain. Because there were times where, you know, we'll have to explain a concept or we had to rethink of how we communicated what we were, you know, thinking or wanting, because for whatever reason, you know, his little brain just couldn't click onto the way I was expressing something. So yeah, it was really, really, really cool experience. And I don't think I'll play It Takes Two with him next. I think that might be a little too close to home. We want to see him with the whole idea being around split families. We won't play that with him yet. I think that one might come down the line. But yeah, look, that's been like...
What are you going to play then? Like, Don't Starve Together?
Yeah.
A Tale of Two Brothers?
Yeah, No Way Out. Like, hey, let's break out of prison together.
The game sucks. I'm sorry, I could not get into that. Ali and I tried to play it after we played It Takes Two. It's just not as good.
Yeah, like, the more levity that Haze Light put into their games, they are better because of it.
Yeah.
What about yourself, Max? Is there anything else that you played other than Split Fiction?
Oh shit, what else did I play this week? Just chugging away at Civ 7.
Mm-hmm.
Still enjoying my time with it. I need to get online and play an actual multiplayer game is what I really need to do to see how...
That's a big time sink though, isn't it?
The new system works. I haven't had a chance to do that yet. I'm still really enjoying it. I can almost play it at the speed as I could on a PC with a controller now.
I've
gotten used to all the knickknacks and all that stuff. The only other thing I've been playing this week is I played the last of the Astro Bot speedrun levels.
Oh, I still haven't done the last three, four.
Three. So this one was all about the armored suit.
Okay.
Like the slowest.
Oh, the slowest one that makes you like a dense lead ball.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's fine. At the end, you get a nice little Assassin's Creed bot. Spoilers.
Oh, sweet.
But yeah, other than that, I haven't really been playing much this week. I've been watching a lot of TV.
What are you watching?
I binge watched the entire first season of Shangri-La Frontier.
The fuck is that?
That's an anime.
Oh.
Season 2 is almost finished, so I'll binge the shit out of that very soon.
Okay. But speaking of Assassin's Creed, though, Shadows comes out this week.
I've fallen down the... I've joined Brendan's Discord, and I've fallen down like a horrible weeb hole.
So for context, that's our good friend Brendan, formerly of 8-Bit, now the lead in... Was it More Than Senpai?
I think they changed it to more the headlines now.
Yeah. Yeah, so either way, like, he shifted away from the gaming space and now creates sort of a podcast and community around the love of anime, which, of course, means nothing to me. But for Max...
I've fallen down a really deep hole of things that I need to watch. I've downloaded a bunch of stuff, and it's been a great time. Horrible. A good old time. So good.
Yeah. So, like, I'm in the same boat. I'm still doing on my Simpsons trek, doing pretty well at it. Season 10. We started watching Welcome to Wrexham as well because it's on Disney, and I like Ryan Reynolds and I like Rob McElhenney.
Did you see Ted Lasso's getting a season 4?
Well, that's kind of what inspired me, right? Because I was like, oh yeah, Ted Lasso. Like, I know that Phoebe really enjoyed it. Then I saw it's a picture stupid. Of the final shot of like that that Stonehenge, and it's the most shittiest green screen I've ever seen in my fucking life. I'm like, how did this get allowed to exist? But But outside of that, like, I'll talk about a bit more of what I've been playing. Now, we touched upon this last week, and that is WWE 2K25. So, as we mentioned last week, big thank you to the team over at 2K Australia and Double Jump Communications for not just, pardon me, providing the review code, but also checking out the episode. So, shout out to the team. You know, it's one of those things where, like, I'm aware that, you know, PR people do have to sort of watch our stuff to, you know, check that we reviewed it. You know, like, they gave us a code and we backed it up and we did it. But rarely do I, like, ever hear that someone actively checked out the show. The only other person I've ever known to do it, another couple, was our good friend Kat, who used to work over at Turn Left Distributions. They handled Capcom, so she would always check out her stuff because she's our friend. And when we used to do work for Nintendo, Christy, the marketing individual at Nintendo, used to watch the show, because when we sent the reviews in, she would respond and highlight parts that they liked. And I was like, that's fantastic. Someone actually checked out our shit. So, expanded thoughts on last week. Still really, really love the game. Like, who would have thought? And that's not just because you're listening. It's because it's actually really, really fun. So there are some things that I failed to talk about last week in my, like, just absolutely, like, dead tired stupor. And there are some, like, about some more additions to the game. So I failed to mention last week that one of the newest inclusions in this game is intergender wrestling matches. So, for those who don't know, majority of televised wrestling works on a male division and a female division. Now, where I like to hang out, which is in the indie space, many of the companies that I work for and I engage with have no gender wrestling, where it doesn't fucking matter what your gender is, what your sex is, doesn't matter. Like, people will go up against people. And I love it. I swear by it. I think it is one of the best ways, if not the best way, to tell wrestling stories, because you can tell double the amount of, you know, story. Like, the emotion is there. There's a lot of cool things that you can do. However, companies like WWE, AEW, they don't tend to facilitate those kind of matches on television, whether it be because of their family-friendly design, whether, you know, because all the shows, you know, PG or PG-13 and watching in the US. and, you know, when they work for companies like Mattel or whoever handles their action figures, the last thing they want to be is connected with a show that demonstrates, you know, domestic violence is kind of the premise, right? Or violence against women. Mind you, we've played every fighting game. You know, this is an example that I heard from our good friends over Exposure Network and this week's Arcade Couch. They talked about, you know, like, fighting games have had men, women, who name it, beat and piss on each other for years. There's never a problem. But wrestling does seem to have an issue with it. So I'm so glad that this year they've removed that. Like, they've removed
Is it because, and I can't believe I'm saying this, comparatively to those games, wrestling's kind of grounded and real?
Well, I think that's probably one of the big things, right? Is because no, you're absolutely correct, and I do believe that is the difference, like, right?
I think there's a difference between the God of Thunder riding kicking the shit out of the Princess of the Outworld compared to, like, Triple H giving a DDT to his wife. I don't know.
Probably would have been a pedigree, but you're in the right direction. Whatever, well done, whatever. Max, you've been paying attention.
I said letters. I think they mean things. I think that's different, right? Like even to a degree, like, Tekken is not really grounded. We've got a dude who keeps coming back to life.
Well, like, they look real. Like, they look a lot more realistic. But yes,
sure. Yeah, in nature, it is fantastical comparative to what a wrestling game would be.
Absolutely right, and you know, because there is. The way that wrestling is built, it is designed to blur that line between, you know, what is reality and what is fake, predetermined. So by design, like, it's that kind of line. So being able to remove that is a whole lot of fun, because I can suddenly start making all the matches I've ever wanted to see. You know, essentially, the first one I did, which makes complete fucking sense, is Rhea Ripley just utterly decimating Dominic Mysterio. It felt good. It's a match I wish they would do on TV, but they won't. But they have done intergender matches in the past, but you'll notice that like the men never get any offense in at all. They come out looking like fucking idiots. And when they've done mixed gendered tags, tag teams, like if the dude was to tag in the female, both teams must bring their female in. There was no moments of, you know, squaring up against an opposite gender and or sex. So that alone is a big advantage. Excuse me. There are some hiccups and hurdles on that, as in it doesn't spill into, say, like my GM, which is the mode that I spend a big hunk of my time in. So it's kind of a bummer to not see it there, but allows me to have a bunch of matches where, you know, now that I've put a lot more work into creating my character, I can fight my partner in the game. Also this weekend, I accidentally elbowed her in the face when my son and I were wrestling, and she came in and got involved, and then I accidentally elbowed her in the face, and really, that was legit accidental, but I fucked up her face. She sneezed today and it hurt. I'm like, that's not good. So there's that. So yeah, I've spent a bit more time in the creation suite. I have now created myself in, like, rather than just the moveset, which I talked about last week, where myself and my good friend Will Walker, you know, we built my moveset from the ground up to be around a particular style. So I've gone with like a real sort of, in the story that we're telling of our characters in our fictional wrestling world that we're a part of with Mad Dog over at TCW, which is Twitch Championship Wrestling. You know, we've been doing this for about four years now. We've told 5 years, something like that. We've told an interesting story about our characters. You know, we were kind of finding ourselves. We got really silly, and then we got really corporate. And then now we're going to a space where our characters are wanting to be more serious, right? You know, like, it's all about the wrestling now. So, like, I've designed a character that's a bit more, like, you know, visually hard-hitting, a lot more of that indie wrestler sort of feel. So I've built him on that. I'm pretty happy with it so far, but I'm still going to properly sit down and tinker with his face because he's not quite there for me. But I did jump into My Rise, which is the campaign. We discussed it last week, where there was a problem with the PlayStation version of the title, where you tried to open it, the game just hard crashes. There was an update, you know, prior to us recording the show, but I didn't get to test it. My assumption was that it would fix it. Turns out it totally did. So I have spent some time in the campaign. The basic premise of it is that a big hunk of the individuals that have come out of NXT, which is the developmental brand, are cracking the shits, and they've created, you know, this sort of group, a collective called Mutiny, or NXT Mutiny. And the idea is anyone that's come from NXT, they're all kind of fighting against the big system. So that's where NXT Mutiny, you know, that brand comes into my GM. It comes from there. The campaign at the moment seems fine. Like, it's kind of what it is. Gon has the idea of, like, there being a female and a male, you know, campaign that go two completely different stories. And now they've kind of mushed them together to sort of create a story alongside. So where you could swap out the sex of the individual and it really wouldn't alter the story in too many ways. However, as MGB in the chat mentions, there are many branching, you know, paths that you can take. Now, I'm not sure whether it's a genuinely, you know, multi-path story in like a Detroit Become Human, where like you will get a very different result depending on what path you take.
Nice throwback.
I know, right? Or it's more like one of those things that shoots wide and then channels you back to the very end anyway. So it's kind of like that misleading, kind of like a, I was going to say like a, like The Quarry or something, but that did have multiple endings.
No, The Quarry had enough endings. I was also going to say the same thing, and then I'm like, nah.
But The Quarry, like Until Dawn had a lot, you know, Quarry had a lot, most of the House of Ashes had a lot. So like, I'm trying to think of an example, but I can't really get one. And it's fine.
Games that give the illusion of choice.
Yeah, exactly, right? As expected, voice acting is shithole in the campaign. It's a lot of people which is interesting because their entire job is to fucking act. and like this, you get them in a sound booth and they're like, "Hi, I'm Bailey, and we're really mad at how we are treated here on Raw." I think I may have actually put too much emotional inflection into that to match what I experienced in the game, but essentially, yeah, like it's a group, a collective of individuals trying to fight the larger company. Think Nexus, think Retribution, think, I don't know, an ungodly amount of wrestling stories where like a group of people try to fight the fucking corporation. So it's not a completely unique idea, but I like it as a concept, especially when they're, you know, bringing up, allowing for a lot of new NXT talent onto the game, because with the biggest roster they've ever produced, makes sense. And then also can sprinkle in some of the old ones, as I mentioned, people like, you know, Kevin Owens and Bailey, who all came up, you know, I'm spoiling like one of the first like fucking 20 minutes into the game, into the campaign, just to sort of set the premise. Outside of that, haven't returned to the island, mostly because, once again, I wasn't super impressed with it. And with the idea of it, for me, it seems to be so far as you go in, you spend VC, you can buy shoes and hats and haircuts and clothes that you can use out. And like, but as I discussed last week, with me and my brain, I am so pre-wired to absorb microtransactions because of impulse that I'd stay away from at all costs. So I do my very best to avoid them. It's the same reason with my faction. I play until a point, and that point is where you cannot progress confidently unless you spend money, and I refuse to do so. Just because I know if the second that door opens, I'm suddenly going to be spending so much money on virtual currency, and I don't want to do it. I can't do it, Max. I can't do it. But once again, you know, look, hey, lovely people at 2K, I'm fucking shameless. If you want to like hook a brother up, I'll just, you know, I'll go to town. Like, I'll make videos, I'll unlock shit, I'll go my factions hard. I'll just make fucking card pack, you know, digital card pack opening videos. That'd be a blast. I'm just kidding, by the way. But if you want to, go ahead. But yeah, look, I'm still really, really enjoying it. Who would have thought? And I imagine it's going to be something that I'm going to be, you know, mentioning every week in week in, week out for the foreseeable future. So much so, the good friend of the show, Craig, also picked us up a new kids belt to include in our bullshit My GM nonsense. It is the John Cena spinner belt. So it's one with the WWE logo in the middle that you can spin, and it literally is little, but it spins. And that might be our online title, I think, because we haven't done the online stuff yet. But big fan, love it. Yeah, should be cool. Speaking of card packs though, Max, I won't touch upon it too heavily because I've only spent, I don't know, probably like half an hour into the game. We did receive a code for MLB The Show, thanks to PlayStation Australia. The game looks immaculate, as it always does. You know, it was one of those ones where I forgot to ask and then it just appeared in my inbox. I was like, oh, I love you.
Did you see Shuhei's in Fortnite now?
Wait, what?
Yeah, he's first MLB player to ever be in Fortnite. Shuhei Ohtani.
Oh, I meant, my brain went to Yoshida, you dongus.
talking about MLB, what the fuck is
Yoshida? Yeah, and I was like, Shuhei, I'm like, it's a PlayStation podcast, Max. I didn't know you knew baseball players.
Hey, man.
Sick. But yeah, no. It's one of the, yeah, so I haven't like really dived. I went into baseball? I know that guy. Like, I know one team and one team only, and that was the Detroit Tigers. And my knowledge of that team is like 8 years old now. So yeah, like I haven't gone and made myself, but I did jump into Diamond Dynasty and I did, you know, crack open some card packs, as I should, as I do, because, you know, so like my life now, and this happened last year, where my life, it just drifts between every morning, you know, before work, or the first thing I do when I come home is open up MLB, get my daily packs, open up WWE, get my daily My Faction stuff, and then probably just turn it off. And I'm happy with that. It's fine by me. We did also get an early access code, pardon me, to Midnight Murder Club, which we haven't played yet, but that was also provided to us from PlayStation Australia. So if there is anybody out there, because it is a multiplayer game, and it is best played with people that you know, if there is anybody that is watching at home, be sure, like hit us up. Like, Max and I will probably play it. I know we'll no doubt play it with our good friend Padge.
I didn't even know.
Oh, wait, didn't you? I was in our group chat.
You probably put it in the group chat, and then
when
you're
asleep, yeah.
Yeah.
But we do have it. You know, both you and I can play it.
It's the one. It's the shooter where you play Pitch Black, right?
Yeah. It's the. You'll walk around a mansion. The only thing you can see is the torchlight in front of you. It's kind of insane. Right. It looks like a laugh, right? And it does have that, you know, share pass where you can like invite people. If people log in a particular version, because there's two versions on the store. There's the version that we have, which is the, you know, you've got the game, and then there's like a shared edition where
like the friend pass.
Yeah. So like, let's just say our friends in the chat, MGB, Mute, Malt Show, if they download that version and they go, oi, and I go, okay, cool. Here's our lobby code. They're playing the game for free with us.
Cool.
It's kind of a really cool concept.
I'll get the boys on.
Yeah. Sounds good. I love it. Super keen. But yeah, the concept's really cool. It's something that appeared in like a state of play semi-recently. But yeah, it looked really cool. Haven't touched it. Other than that, I think that's kind of about it, really. I did reinstall Death Stranding because I was like, ooh, maybe I'm going to want to play this again. And then after discussing it last week, and then I was like, oh, okay, I'm pretty confident that like this is way too early for me to dive into it. But knowing that it takes 100,000 years to finish, and I'm really, you know, distracted by everything in 1,000 other directions. Let me do a quick check of my app. Have I been playing anything else? My son got really into Riders Republic this week. I don't know what's going on with that.
Gay.
Oh, well, speaking of, like, I played it, and like it's absolutely not the Riders Republic I played in the beta. Like,
I mean, it works.
Yeah, and they've added like fucking so much to it. Like, I know it's essentially a spiritual successor to Steep, and that game was like a really good proof of concept, but that was it. The game was kind of fucked and not very interesting other than that. So here they've got like, you know, rocket packs, you know, the rocket gliders. You've got parachuting. You've got BMXing. You've got skateboarding, which is fucked insane. You've got, you know, snowboarding and skiing, and there's a snowmobile, and like there's a bunch of things. Mm. And because the first thing I noticed when the game booted up, it's like, you know, an Ubisoft game. And then they showed the logo of like the 7 studios that they used to build this fucking thing. It was like, check, yeah, blue, blue, blue. I'm like, that's a whole fucking lot of studios making this one game. And then once they showed, they're like, hey, here's like 8 different vehicles that you can do. It's kind of like all, you know, as MGB in the chat pensions, seriously, as an extreme sports game fan, it's amazing. It's a bunch of extreme sports crammed into one experience. But it handles like ass. Like trying to play the skateboarding, like the controls are completely unintuitive. BMX, kind of the same. Like they are, like it's a way more casual. It's somehow even more casual than Tony Hawk. I don't get it. It uses the thumbstick in the same way, similar to skate, but also in order to like do a trick, you have to then hold R2, then press X to ollie, and then press a direction on the stick to do the trick, but if you want to rotate, you have to press square and circle. So, like, it requires, like, dexterity that we don't have as humans with opposable thumbs.
You gotta play...
Yeah, claw grip that bitch, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah.
Gotta, like, get all up in it. And that's kind of weird, but what are you gonna do? It's like an hour and hour max, and we've barely touched the news because you were like, there's not much news this week. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to talk about anything else. So let's get to the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
So PlayStation are going to go higher than Pro. They're going to go Elite.
Super Pro.
PS5 lead architect Mark Cerny has shared that the PS5 Pro system will receive an update to its PSSR feature next year that would allow it to produce similar results to the FSR4 upscaling technology from AMD. This enhancement will be a result of Sony's current partnership with AMD, which is also exploring possibilities for the PS6 as part of Project Amethyst. The PS5 Pro's future tech upgrade was announced via Digital Foundry, where Sony said that for 2025, Sony is focusing on the current version of PSSR and having external developers implement the feature. For next year, though, quote, our target is to have something very similar to FSR4's upscaler available on the PlayStation 5 Pro for 2026 titles as the next evolution of PSSR. It should take the same inputs and produce essentially the same outputs. Doing that implementation is rather ambitious and time-consuming, which is why you haven't already seen this new upscaler on the PS5 Pro. The enhanced PS5 upscaler is the first result of Sony's collaboration with AMD, and the results are described as, quote, excellent, according to Mark Cerny. He added, quote, it's a more advanced approach that can exceed the crispness of PSSR. I'm very proud of the work of the joint team. Sony believes the PS5 Pro's architecture is up to the task of running FSR4-like technology despite the intensive computing power it demands. Quote, that is what we are targeting, and we believe that we can achieve it. The peak performance number for PS5 Pro is 308-bit tops without sparsity, which compares very well to the recently released AMD GPUs. We don't believe sparsity is useful for this particular upscaling algorithm, end quote.
So
the whole, their big selling point of the PS5 Pro was PSSR, and now they're like, nah, we're just going to do something different.
Yeah. Like, essentially, yeah. But at the same time, I like the idea that the PS5 Pro can be, like, software upgraded, I guess, because like the big selling point of PSSR is it is AI upscaling, right? At its core, excuse me, which is software based. In previous generations of consoles, you know, you would have to physically buy a new console to get any improvements within the hardware itself. As much as I'm not the biggest fan of like generative AI, computational AI, I'm more okay with, because it's everywhere, right? It's in our computers, it's in, like, it's been in games for thousands of years, not thousands, a very long time. But it's the generational stuff that I have the problem with. So the fact that they can then go, oh, let's put a new AI model in there, or let's advance the AI inside to make your PS5 Pro better, sing. What a win. Like, I am still waiting for the day that I can be like, I'm going to buy a Pro. And then now that I know that it will be supported to have further improvements, fucking win. Because like, you've seen a lot of the feedback, right, Max? So like a lot of the way people are seeing it, they're like, yeah, it's not really worth the money. It's not really delivering as expected. Like, this has the ability to change that.
My friend, he saw the trailer for Death Stranding 2, and he's like, I'm ordering a Pro. Got his Pro the next day.
Good call.
And he's currently replaying Death Stranding. Like, I don't really see a difference.
Yeah, because it's not built for it, man.
I'm still
anti-upgrade, so.
Well, I'm actually contemplating doing it. I need a second PlayStation 5 in the house, so I'm sick of my daughter playing mine when I want to play it.
That's a good reason. But, like, I'm genuinely impressed because, yeah, is it solely just because you need a second console? Like, it's nothing to do with, like, the power of it. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much.
And
yeah,
rather than buy another one, might as well upgrade mine and she can have the Demon Souls one. It's fair. Because I'm in the same boat. I'm like, what can I do?
I just realized if I ever trade this in for, like, the next generation, I'm going to have to buy new plates for that bastard. They're like, oh, no, it's a special edition. What do you want about? It was the Demon Souls edition. Console,
but, well, I still have like my purple ones. If you ever want the purple ones, because like, they don't fit my, I don't have a console to fit them anymore.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I kept them because they were cool. And when my ex wife bought the PS5 off me for like whatever the trade in value for EB Games was, so that they could have one at their house and James could play. Yeah, it was like, you know, $8 or something. But I, you know, we were very kindly given that cool merch pack from PlayStation Australia for Spider-Man 2. So that came with the plates. So that's now my son has them, and they're on his PS5, and he fucking loves it. And you know, he had his controller that I bought for him for his birthday, and you got the other one. Is it still right there? Yeah, look at that. It is still such a lovely controller. So yeah, like, I'll talk about this on the show. I know my partner's, I know Phoebe's watching the other end of the house, so I'm not going to get in too much trouble, I suppose. But I did have to laugh. I got a message this week, from her, and it was like during the middle of the day, and I was just working. I was like, what the fuck?
That's weird.
It was a message from her. It just went, hey, like, I would absolutely buy a PS5 Pro for you if you finalize your divorce. I was like, what? That's a weird, it's not exactly how the message went, but like, I'm like, that's a bizarre trade. Which is fair though, because like, you know, my ex-wife, like, we're still technically married because we separated long enough that in the eyes of the law, no one's going to think we're married. But I understand, you know, we need something we need to get done. And it just made me laugh as like a good selling point. Like, she wasn't like using it as like a manipulative tactic. She's just kind of, you know, mentioning like, yo, you should probably get that shit sorted. And knowing that like, I have a reward-based brain. I was like, ooh, I could do this and I get a console, you know? And look, yeah, we've been separated. Like her, you know, Millie and I have been separated for 3 years now, 4 years. So like, it's not something we haven't discussed before. You know, but it costs like fucking so much money to get divorced. It costs fuck all to get married, but it's really expensive to get divorced. And especially when you have a kid under the age of 18, like you have to appear in court because there's, you know, dependents. Even though like Millie and I are fucking perfectly, you know, amicable. It's crazy. Don't get divorced, Max. If you could avoid it. I originally planned to avoid it, but you know, what are you going to do? I could get a PS5 Pro out of it.
Everything's coming up Milhouse.
Oh, I'm so getting in trouble when I walk the other end of the house after this. But yeah, look, I said, if that would have happened, you know, my divorce is sorted. That would be amazing, you know, because essentially Phoebe's telling me to get divorced so then she so we can get married.
Hey, if I go with him just to make sure it's done, can I have one too?
Like, look, I'll
drive him. I'll drive him.
What's it? Oh, you're body doubling. You're like, I'll body double him. I'll go with him. Make sure he gets it done. As long as, and the deal is I get a PS5 Pro as well. Fucking hell. But yeah, the short answer, she wants to get married. And like, I'm not against it at all. So we'll see what happens. But I gotta get fucking rid of my first marriage first.
Look at me for the win.
No, I'm not a polygamous man. No. Excuse me. Oh, even Craig's in the chat now being like, do you need lift to court? Because, you know, it's like Craig wants a PS5 Pro as well now. Like, fuck it, hell. What a laugh. No, but yeah.
Well, I mean,
hope I'm not painting her in a bad picture, you know, in a bad light, because it's very funny.
If we downgrade, we can just get 2 standard PS5s. I just need a console. Like, it doesn't matter what it is.
Well, if I buy a Pro, like, I got to get rid of my Slim somehow. I don't need 2 consoles. Do I need 2 consoles? No.
I'll pay for celebration drinks, MGB.
And they're saying MGB gets PS5 Pro as well. Phoebe's just handing them out like fucking Oprah up in here.
She's got a van, PS5 Pro, free PS5 Pros on the back. Just a bunch of middle-aged dudes getting in the back of the van.
She's just harvesting organs at this rate. And Reverend Puck, now that you mention it. Dear God. Oh my God. All right. We're talking a moment ago about the PS5 Pro and its use of, you know, computational AI. Yeah,
you were talking about your love of AI. Fuck off.
No, fuck off. My love of computational AI and then how my dislike for generative AI. Well, guess what? Sony's in on the space, particularly Gorilla. So like most big tech companies, Sony has been experimenting with generative AI tools, and a leaked internal demo has come under scrutiny from enthusiasts. As reported by The Verge, Sony has been working on technology that allows game characters to respond directly to speech from the player and engage in conversation. A video of this AI prototype, which features Horizon's Aloy as an example, was leaked to the publication via an anonymous tipster. This has since been taken down, though not before mirrors and clips were created. Shown off by SIE's Sean, what the fuck? Raghobardajal. Let's try it again. Raghobardajal, that's R-A-G-H-O-E-B-A-R-D-A-J-A-L. I do apologize, Sharwin. for butchering your name. The prototype, intended purely as an internal demonstration of the technology, sees the AI-powered Aloy respond to questions and prompts, and they're able to engage in a direct back and forth with the user. The video features Aloy both outside and inside the game world of Horizon Forbidden West. While in the game, she's able to answer contextual questions about her surroundings in order to aid the player.
Oi, how do I take down this thunder jaw?
Yeah, like, hey, what's the code for this door? The prototype is running on a PC, but experiments on PS5 show it could be implemented with, quote, little overhead, end quote. What's clear is that this AI tech, at least is in the guise presented in the leaked video, is far from being in a state ready to be implemented into games anytime soon. The placeholder AI voice and facial animations give Aloy a surreal, uncanny valley quality that's jarring to say the least. It throws the doors open to various questions. What impacts might this tech have on game development? What might this mean for Ashley Birch, who has portrayed the character throughout the series so far? Well, in an update, Ashley Birch, who voices the heroine, has since shared her thoughts on the demo. She stated by pointing out that she was immediately contacted by developer Guerrilla, who assured her the demo, quote, didn't reflect anything in development, end quote, and, quote, didn't use her performance, end quote. Spoilers are editorial here. That's the fucking problem! Thank you. Neither facial capture nor voice data. However, she continued that she's concerned about the state of the industry. I feel worried, she says, and not worried about Guerrilla specifically or Horizon or my performance or my career specifically even. I feel worried about this art form, game performance as an art form, end quote. Birch pointed out that voice actors are currently striking as they seek protections from AI and the ability to consent to any AI versions of their work which may exist in the future.
So quote, for reference, they've been on strike for just over a year now.
Yeah, these are the same strikes from fucking Yonkers ago. They're still going, and there's been no resolution, which is insane. Quote, I just imagine a video, like the Aloy tech demo, coming out that does have some someone's performance attached to it, that does have someone's voice or face or movement, and the possibility that if we lose this fight, that person would have no recourse. They wouldn't have any protections, any way to fight back, and that possibility makes me so sad. It hurts my heart, and it scares me. Max?
It's one of those things. Companies want to explore new technology. They want to find ways to make games development cheaper. And by using generative AI, they can cut out voice actors. It sucks. It really does.
Sorry. Follow up from the discussions earlier. My partner Phoebe just messaged me. And
you've just lost your pro, motherfucker.
Yeah, pretty much. She goes, it wasn't meant as a reward, more of a, why don't you spend the money on getting a divorce and I'll buy you a PlayStation and you buy me a ring.
That makes way more sense.
That does make more sense.
It makes way more sense.
It's less, less a comedic story, but it makes sense.
It is less a comedic story. That just sounds like...
That just sounds like negotiation.
Yeah, that sounds like buy me a pro and I'll buy you a ring. I'm going to get you into more trouble.
Yeah, pretty much. It's fucking funny. And in the chat, MGB is like, fair enough, baby. And she's not wrong. Hence why I'm not like fighting it. I'm like, yeah, no, you bang the fuck on. It's just a funny story. And I like funny stories. Because it makes me look like a fucking idiot. And they're the best kind. They're the best kind of stories.
Here you go. Hey, I've got a ring. There you go.
Oh, Jesus. And you, oh, we can share that because it's gluten-free. So... Hey, Max, you are aware that you're eating a cheesel right now and you were mid-conversation about AI.
Okay, so back to AI. I can see, like, to play devil's advocate, you can see both sides of the playing field here. Mm. Like, obviously, games cost a shitload to make now. And if they could cut out an entire portion of that cost, I can see how that would seem lucrative to developers. Obviously, all these voice actors are incredibly talented and deserve to be paid what they're paid. And, you know, need to live. The fact that these strikes have been going on for just over a year now. I believe there was a offer made a couple of weeks ago that was turned down because they're still not happy with it. It will be very interesting to see how this turns out. It'll be interesting to see how many more games are delayed because of this. I mean, just for an example, the latest seasonal content drop for Destiny 3 is not voice acted because all the fucking actors are on strike. The text pops up as subtitles, but there's no voice acting whatsoever. It'll be interesting to see like we saw the effects of the strikes throughout movies and TVs a couple of years ago when the actors went on strike. It'll be interesting to see what the damage will be from these voice actors, rightfully so, going on strike.
And let's look in the world that we have now.
Yeah, sorry, Craig. As Craig put in, it was the writers that went on strike, not the actors.
So. Yeah. And initially, and then it was kind of like, hey, you know, they're gonna start replacing writers with AI, and correctly, actors and voice actors. Like, hang on a minute. I can understand the appeal to wanting to incorporate AI within your game. Sorry, it's not clearing my throat. I'm muting the recording, but Max just gets blasted with my cough every time because I don't mute Discord. I just mute OBS. So sucks for you, Max. You guys are all fine. But I can understand the appeal. Because there's quite a number of mods out there that put it into like Skyrim, where suddenly the characters within the NPCs within the world are responding to you and like sort of having, you know, more organic conversations. And you can even chuck a microphone on and like communicate with them and they'll respond in kind. Not like a full-blown conversation, but pardon me, enough to sort of add an additional layer of realism to the world. Now, that's great in concept, but every AI that they put into an NPC is replacing a someone's employment. And I understand that, you know, as new technology comes in, old things come out, you know, those innovations do have strengths and they have weaknesses, you know, they have promise and they have challenges. My concern is that we have strong evidence and proof to demonstrate that the games industry has no self-control when it comes to anything that they believe will give them more money. We saw it with online passes to try curb pre-owned sales. We saw it with the Square Enix's really hard, like just giant boner for NFTs, even though we all knew they were scams and shit. They still doubled down really hard. Any way in which these companies could, you know, save money, quote unquote, they will do, except for not pay their C-suite less, or, you know, create games that are less fiscally intense. Instead, they will find, rather than do anything like proactive and prominent, what they are doing is they are letting people go, they are firing people, they're now just fucking straight up replacing people with computers, like with AI. Once again, people have been replaced with computers in a bunch of industries. The entire like manufacturing industry has been pretty much replaced with automation. And it is a sign of the future, but like those things make stuff like, you know, like they are simple. Those machines can do one thing and it makes you a fucking pair of shoes, which it probably won't. Your shoes are likely made by some small child in, you know, an Asian country. But if there was a machine that made shoes, it makes one thing, makes shoes. But like AI is a whole different beast. And yeah, the games industry at large, because it is an industry, it is a business, They have no self-control. And if they do this, it is not going to be good. I am not happy. I'm not excited. Saying that, though, you know the Death Stranding trailer that you had last week? Mm-hmm. You know how, like, you know, when they showed all the credits at the end, like this actor and this character and this actor and this mm-hmm. character, and there's that one character that kind of just looks like a robot. I think his name's Charlie, mm-hmm. which makes me laugh because Sam is my cat. It just says Charlie, and there's no name underneath it. So there's either two reasons, right? Either, and this is the fun of it, either they're intentionally not telling you who that person is for the big reveal when you play the game and you go, oh my God, it's this person. The other theory that I saw rolling around, once again, off the back of Gorilla and their ability to implement AI like this into the Decima engine, which is what they use, which is what has been passed on to Kojima for use with Death Stranding. The funniest thing that I listen to a wide number of gaming podcasts, right? Myself included, I'm poking fun of myself here. The amount of people that will be like, oh, that's, you know, like use, like referring or explaining the Decima engine like it's this, haha, I have extra knowledge because I'm aware of the Decima engine. And I just did it, which makes me laugh at myself. Just all that pseudo-intellectualism of games media, or at least independent games media, I suppose, us little guys. But yeah, so the idea is like, is this demonstrative of, you know, like an AI character within Kojima as well? Because Kojima's down for fucking with new things.
Yeah, but he also likes hanging out with famous people too much.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
There's a reason why Charlie does not have any lines in the trailer.
Because it's someone fucking cool. It's like Keanu Reeves or Christopher Walken. Oh my God, if it's Christopher Walken.
I know.
It won't be, but
that's how he brings Mads Mikkelsen back.
You want someone with like a really iconic voice, though.
It's the guy who voiced GLaDOS.
No, nah, it's Pee Wee Herman.
No. Anyway,
I know you touched upon it, but like, where are you, like, as discussing it as a larger principle, like,
look, I mean, the execution of it kind of sucks, but the implementation would be cool.
Yeah,
like if there was a way, but obviously there's no way to just have them come in and be like, oh, we want you to voice like an endless series of lines that could possibly never see the light of day, depending on if the character engages with you in this way. Or do they do a flat, we want to use you, we want to have access to your voice so we can AI generate it in this way in perpetuity. What is that price number? Like, what is a fair price number to have the rights to your voice forever in this one particular situation? And then, you know, every time an update rolls around and they want to add a few more dialogue lines, do they have to pay X amount of dollars extra? Or, like, what does that look like as a fair value trade between the voice actor and the company who needs it? Like, can you put a monetary value on something forever?
Why jump into the quick bits? Give me 2 seconds.
It's a very ambiguous statement. Did you want me to wait for 2 seconds or do you want me to just dive in? Yeah, screw it. I'm just diving into it. Quick bits, everybody. The PlayStation logo has been found on Starfield's website, which may indicate it may be coming sooner rather than later. God of War has celebrated its 20th anniversary with some classic God of War 2 arm skins coming to God of War Ragnarok. Final Fantasy has surpassed 200 million sales worldwide, with the pixel remasters accounting for 5 million.
Did you ever check them out?
Yeah, I've played all of them. I platinumed one of them. Nice. I'm up to the final one, I think. I'm doing number 6 at the moment. Final Fantasy... sorry, I just read that. Nate the Hate rumors that Oblivion remake could launch as early as April as a shadow drop.
Yeah, that's been an interesting one. Right,
for God of War. Do I want an Oblivion remake? Fuck yeah. Yeah. Apparently it's been remade completely in Unreal Engine 5 and it's going to tie us over until Elder Scrolls 7 or whatever.
This is the thing that intrigues me about Oblivion. Like, it's the first Elder Scrolls game that I fell in love with. And I had to stop playing it.
I played Morrowind. Morrowind was the tits.
No, I never played. Yeah, no, I played.
I played Daggerfall too, actually.
Ew. I tried, like, it was free on something, and I played it, and I was like, ew, it's like an asshole. So I don't care. But like Oblivion, I enjoyed a lot until I got myself saved in a problem. And that was, I saved into a, I spawned into a cave and there's a Minotaur right there. And I walk in, he goes, and punches me and I die, reloads, reloads. And then, so I could never go back to Oblivion. That was like 130 hours into the game or something crazy.
So you're gonna say it was like 130 years ago when I played it.
No, I was like really deep into that game and then I just couldn't get out of it, which was really frustrating.
And Skate on PlayStation 5 isn't out yet, but already contains tons of microtransactions.
Yeah, that's insane. In its beta or its alpha or whatever, there's already micros. Gross. But yeah, so God of War stuff, very intriguing. Those new skins are sick. It's that like black with the gold. It looks amazing. It looks so good. And Santa Monica have been having a blast with it. They did a big presentation. You know, they've been dropping stuff across socials. They've been, you know, sort of filling in little little facts about the franchise, which has been awesome. But yeah, PS logo coming to Starfield. I bet you that's any moment now. Once again, we got like Age of Mythology came out like 2 weeks ago, a week ago. And then Forza Horizon 5 comes out in June. Like I reckon Starfield.
I'm so excited for that.
But haven't you already played it?
Yeah. But I can play it on my home console.
True. That would be exciting.
Although I play it on PC and it would arguably
it'd way be better. Noticeably better on there. Yeah, so Starfield possibly later in the year. We got Indiana Jones. It looks like it's be coming out next month. Was it April? I think the sort of the date was. Which is in crazy. But from quick bits, though, it's not really a quick bit, but I went and did it anyway. So today, I swung by Big W, and I picked myself up the Lego Horizons Aloy and Val versus the Shellwalker and Sawtooth Bulks. I just wanted to bring it and show it. I'm going to build it. It's going to be fun. It's going to stand next to the tall boy.
Yeah.
Tall neck. I suppose he's not called the tall boy. That's what I want to call him. Pretty cool little set. I've noticed like it's branded Lego Horizon Adventures, where the other one was the standard, you know, black, you know, the more adult sets, you know, the black background and the image, like one that we saw, like the fucking.
It's the set that has more than 100 pieces, even though that clearly says 768 pieces.
It does. But yeah, the ones where you sort of get like the Taj Mahal or a bunch of succulents. Like they have that
icon.
Yeah. Where's that box? The box is somewhere. I think it's in the garage. So I'm keen to do that. Might do a little like build video on it. I'll see how I go. Might even just like live stream it. Just if I can be bothered. that should be fun. But anyways, that's enough of the quick bits. Wow, I didn't write down fucking any of the timestamps for quick bits, by the way. So I'm just going to assume that was there. All right. We're talking about games that are coming out in the near future. Max, these are the games that are coming out this week. On the 18th of March, you get MLB The Show 25 on PS5. I believe PS5 only, actually.
It is PS5
only. That's crazy. That's so good.
Why it's not listed with a fucking /4, mate?
Yeah, mate. Look, fucking chill out, all right? Like, you know, it's not on Game Pass this year, which blows bums it out for you, but it would explain why it looks so fantastic, right? It's because it's not a PS4. On the 19th of March, you get Just Crow Things. Coming to PS5 and PS4. I assume that's, you know, the movie The Crow, but like, you know.
No, it's Untitled Goose Game, but with crows.
Wait, really?
I have no fucking idea.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I kind of like the idea of it's, you know, like, you know, Muppet Babies, but it's just The Crow.
oh, shit, it actually might be just.
Wait, really?
In this level-based sandboxy adventure game, you must.
Play. Two dickhole crows.
You're a little crow trying to prove herself in the world, make new animal friends, poop on unsuspecting humans, and steal all the shiny trinkets. Each level is a little sandbox full of fun items to discover and puzzles to solve. It's fucking Untitled Goose Game, but you're a crow and you shit on people.
Untitled Crow Game, let's go. Also on the 19th of March is Kiniku Neko Super Muscle Cat. Well, that part got my attention. Coming to PS5 and PS4. On the 20th of March, Assassin's Creed Shadows is finally releasing on PS5 and PS4, alongside Rendering Ranger, R2 Rewind, PS5, PS4, and Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 Complete Edition, PS5 and PS4. On the 21st of March, you get Assault, but spelt wrong, Suit Linos 2 Saturn Tribute, PS5, PS4. Altair Yuma, The Alchemist of Memories, and The Envisioned Land, PS5, PS4. The fuck is with these anime names?
I played the demo before. It's actually pretty tight.
Yeah, because I remember you playing Altair like a while ago, like years ago.
Yeah.
Bleach, Rebirth of Souls, PS5, PS4.
They dropped the opening cinematic trailer today. Love it.
Hey. And on the 18th of March, these are the games that are coming to your PS Plus. That is UFC 5 on PS5, which we had a blast with back in the day and was awesome. Prince of Persia, Lost Crown, exceptional title. Captain Tsubasa, Rise of New Champions, no idea what that is, coming to PS4. Mobile Suit Gundam, what's that?
I think it's a soccer game.
Yeah, lame. Mobile Suit Gundam Battle Operation Code Fairy. PS5, PS4, Arcade Paradise, which apparently is like I think it's a VR game? No.
There is a VR version.
Oh, Arcade premium. Paradise. Yeah, there is a VR version. But the idea is very similar to like Trading Card Shop Sim. I think it's you just running your own arcades. That sounds sick. You Suck at Parking, PS5, PS4. That game is fun.
It is fun.
Bang on Balls Chronicles, PS5, PS4. I assume the game is not about what I think it is, which makes me sad.
It's a chronicling of people banging.
People just dick shots. Just nut shots for like 8 hours in various locations. It's like, you know, everybody's golf, but you're just plumbing balls into someone's crutch. Siberia, The World Before on PS5 and PS4. And if, like me, you have PS4, PS Plus Premium, firstly, why? Secondly, you get Arcade Paradise VR for PSVR 2, which I will need to grab off you, Max, because I did order the lenses that match my prescription to put inside the PSVR 2, so I want to see if that works. They're on their way from China as we speak. Armored Core, which is the PS1 port, and as well as Armored Core Project Phantasma and Armored Core Master of Arena, and they are both the PS1 versions. Man, long ass show this week. It's good fun. Do we make you late for work, Max?
Nah, man, I don't have to leave for another 15 minutes.
Eh. Oh, well, then, fuck, we better get this shit out of here. In the chat, MGB jumps in and goes, Mad Dog will play the Bleach game 100%. I assume that's the case.
I'm fucking so excited.
Fucking Bleach, nerds. They've also added, I've played Arcade Paradise on Xbox as it's on Game Pass. It's fantastic. You get to build your own arcade, and it's really fun, worth a play. Sick. Now I'm in. Now I'm double in. But that, of course, that does bring us, to the end of the show. A big thank you for everyone that did come and join us. We appreciate you taking the time out of your week. As I mentioned, we've done this for 380-something episodes, and for some reason, y'all keep coming back. Not all of you, because like we didn't know, it ebbs and flows with the numbers, but like for those that keep coming back, love you. Love you long time. Thank you so much for having us as part of your daily, your weekly, however you consume the show. Big fan. Once again, we are the only PlayStation podcast made in Australia. So, you know, it's support local. And, you know, sometimes it's good to support local even when they're not as good as the import, which is most things, which is a real problem for USA with all their tariffs.
Look, yeah, spoilers, I was going to say
imports are pretty fucking important. Yeah. Until they put tariffs on fucking podcasts, right? Like, you know, get it where you can.
Get it where you can.
All right, Max, let's get out of here.
All right, everybody. This PlayStation Conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. Rec Watchers record the show live where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. And if you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. We have a merch store, but I always plug it and then I forget because I haven't updated it in forever. Also, haven't updated our Patreon in 100 years either. So for like the handful of people that are still supporting us on Patreon, holy shit, why? But thank you. Because, like, I went in there and I have not updated that thing since, like, 2021. 22 at best. At best. Like, all the tiers are kind of the same. But, like, I don't upload any episodes there. Like, you know, nothing. Nothing. As far as people would know, it'd be inactive, except for like the four people that are paying it money, which I appreciate because it also pays for our hosting. It pays for like, you know, all the sort of things that people don't think about. Like it never funnels into anything exciting. It just pays for like our ABN and all that shit. So.
And the monthly strippers.
Well, yeah, that's what the ABN's for. You know, it's a business transaction. I've got to invoice them correctly. You know, it's super important. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Mm-hmm. It is. Mm. It was. I think we'll finish now.